like us to consider together this afternoon some words that we read in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7. Some very familiar words to most of you, if not all of you, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, where we read these words. "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And of course, these are words with which we are very familiar. But do we really comprehend the full meaning of these things? Let's first make some general observations. Firstly, in these days in which we live, more so than in the time and the place in which the Lord Jesus Christ uttered these words, we find a multitude of teachers representing various religions and philosophies, each seeking to teach us how to live our lives, the path that we should follow, whether that be in order that we may please God and earn a place in heaven, or to raise ourselves to some higher plane of existence, or for the general benefit of mankind or of ourselves. The impression is that there are many ways that we can choose to follow. Now, some would teach that theirs is the only way and the only truth. Others would teach that all are valid and ultimately lead to the same end. But the Word of God says something different. The verses before us do not speak of many ways, but only two. A narrow way that leads to life, a broad way that leads to destruction. Secondly, in terms of our general observations, there are those who would teach us that though there is but one path to life, to fulfillment, to heaven and so on, there are many ways by which we may enter into that path. Again, God's word in the passage before us tells us something different. The Lord Jesus Christ here tells us that not only are there only two ways, but also each of these ways has got one entrance. The narrow way has a straight gate. That is to say, it's narrow, it's a tight squeeze to get through it. And the broad way has a wide gate, such that none would have any trouble getting through it. And the third general observation is this, that there's an unwarranted optimism amongst many today. They would suggest that either all men will ultimately end up on the right path and find their way to heaven, or at least a great number will. Yet again, God's word says something very different. It tells us right here of the broad way that many there be which go in thereat. Yet of the narrow way we are told, few there be that find it. Now secondly then, let us consider these things more closely. These two verses before us give us a clear instruction, followed by two good reasons why we should take heed and follow that instruction. The instruction is, enter ye in at the strait gate. And the first reason why we should follow this instruction is because of the consequences of not doing so. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And the second reason why we should follow this instruction is because of the benefits of following it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Let's firstly then consider this instruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate. It is absolutely clear that this straight gate, this narrow entrance, represents the beginning of the Christian life. We might immediately note that this is very different to the message which many preach today. That is, those who suggest that it's very easy to become a Christian. Give your heart to the Lord, they say, in suitably vague terms, and you'll be saved. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. There's, of course, some truth in that. But they will not dwell on the implications of it. On the true implications of it. They urge their hearers to make some sort of decision for Christ. As if it were a simple thing. Or to pray a simple prayer written out for them on a card. The implication is that this is an easy thing. The Lord Jesus Christ right here indicates that it is not. It's a straight gate. It's a tight squeeze. It is so tight that there are many things that you might like to hang on to, but you must leave them behind, or you'll never get through that gate. And the first thing that must be left behind is worldliness. If you're to enter through that straight gate, which is the beginning of the Christian life, it must be as a changed person. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things or become new." You may say, "I want to be a Christian. But I don't want to be different from the crowd. I don't want to be the odd one out. I don't want to be the one who is always making excuses not to go to that this place or that place. Or not to listen or to join in with bad language or not to watch that particular kind of film," and so on. But you can't enter through that straight gate with all that baggage. There are other things also that would prevent us, or would prevent you from entering that straight gate. Or you may leave behind all the things of the world, but yet the spirit of the world may still be in you. You don't see it so much in these days, but still exists. But in the past, many would enter into the monastic life, separating themselves from the outside world, and ostensibly from all its influences. But sadly, many monasteries became places of great sin, great dens of iniquity, for the simple reason that those who entered such places effectively took the world in with them. The world that was within them. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. But sadly many were and are not in the world, but still of the world. We're told in the scriptures to remember Lot's wife. For For her example should be a great warning to us. For along with her husband, she left Sodom, but in her looking back toward that place, she reveals that her heart was still there. And thus, she shared in its fate, being turned to a pillar of salt. There's yet another thing that would prevent you from entering by the straight gate, and that is yourself. You may say, why, that's ridiculous. How can I enter upon this journey to life and yet leave myself behind? Yet that is exactly what you must do. In the state in which we come into this world, self is on the throne. And however much we seek to deny it, our backs are turned against God. We are self-willed. We want to do as we please. The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ says to one who would follow him is, let him deny himself. Self and pride are very hard for us to let go of. But to enter into that straight gate, we must be able to say, as the hymn writer does, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. There's nothing in us that could possibly merit our entry through that gate. And if we seek to bring anything of ourselves through it, we will not pass through. Neither our character nor our good works can earn us passage, and indeed will prevent it. How then can you enter this gate? And what is the nature of it? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it plain in the scriptures that he himself is that gate. He says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And again he says, John 10 verse 8 and onwards, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. To enter into that straight gate, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to him in repentance, acknowledging your sin, abhorring your sin, turning away from your sin with loathing, pleading with God for mercy and forgiveness, casting yourself upon him, believing that Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners by his death on the cross, will save you if you come to him in true repentance and trust in him alone for salvation. You must come to him believing that he alone can save you, renouncing all those things that we've mentioned already that would prevent you from passing through that straight gate. Renounce every thought of passing through that gate with anything of your own righteousness, through any merit of your own. You must trust in Christ and in him alone. Again, the hymn writer puts it well when he says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. The instruction then before us is very clear. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And the first reason we are given to enter in at the strait gate is because of the consequences of not doing so. For we read, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. We've mentioned something of this already, but the substance of it is that the wide gate is so wide that it encompasses every false religion, every atheist philosophy, every false notion of how you may please God. In essence, it encompasses everything except that which constitutes the straight gate. Indeed, we must say that unless you have entered by the straight gate, you have already entered that wide gate, and you're already on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. We're all born that way. For we are born in sin and as enemies of God. No matter how well or how badly we are brought up, unless we enter that straight gate through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are inevitably on that broad way that leads to destruction. For many, however, there's a point when they make a deliberate decision to deliberately head down that broad way. They're confronted with the truth and they're pointed to the straight gate, but they turn away and run headlong down that broad way to their own destruction. Some may follow what seems to be a very narrow way as they ritually order their lives, but they're still on the broad way. Some may veer from side to side, believing one thing one day and another the next, sampling every known religion or philosophy, but they still remain within that broad way. And that broad way leads to destruction. That is to say, it leads to hell, the place of eternal destruction, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are those who may say, why, I know that I'm on that broad way that leads to destruction. But yet they have no real desire to be out of it. My friend, if this is the case with you, then you have no real comprehension of the road that you're on and its destination and where you're headed. See, if you truly understood it, you'd be crying out, what should I do to be saved? Why, others might make the argument, why, I'm following after the crowd. All my friends, everyone I know is on the same road as me. None of us believe in this narrow way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, we just go on our way without a care. All will be well in the end. Or either that, or we'll all have our time and then we shall be no more. How can all these people, how can all my friends be wrong? They are wrong. We're told right here, many there be which go in thereat. Oh, don't be led by the crowd. We're told in the scriptures, we find it in Proverbs 14:12 and again in Proverbs 16 verse 25, whenever we see something twice in the scriptures, we ought to pay great attention to it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, the second reason we are given to enter in at the straight gate is because of the benefits of doing so. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. You've spoken already of the straight gate. But here we read also of the narrow way and the end of that way. For we read that it leadeth unto life. The narrow way here speaks of the Christian life. And again, the word of God contradicts what many teach today. For many would say, why, that if you've made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your sins are forgiven and you can live as you please. The law of God, they say, no longer applies to you. You're under grace now, not under the law. Well, the word of God speaks not of a straight gate and then a broad road, but a straight gate and a narrow way. That narrow way is the way of obedience. Those who are truly saved by God's grace will inevitably seek to serve Him. Not that they can ever repay Him for His great salvation, but out of a humble and a thankful heart. For as Paul writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Christian life is not one of ease. It is one of joy, but not one of ease. It's one of following the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Master. And many times that will be difficult. As Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the end of that way is life. Life eternal. Life in heaven. Life in the very presence of God. Life untainted by sin. It's a narrow way. It's a hard way at times. But God Himself ensures that each one who truly enters at the straight gate will persevere to the end of the narrow way. Not through their own strength or prowess, but because He leads them all the way. For as the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We've mentioned already that there is but one entrance to the narrow path, and that is by the straight gate. There are many who may appear to be on that narrow path, but they have not truly entered by the straight gate. They have not come by way of repentance for sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. John Bunyan speaks of such in his Pilgrim's Progress. He speaks of them by the name of formalist and hypocrisy. And when they meet up with Christian on the way, Christian questions them and he says, why came you not in at the gate, which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know you not that it is written that he that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber? And then we read, they said, that to the gate for entrance was by all their countrymen counted too far about, and that therefore their usual way was to make a shortcut of it and to climb over the wall as they had done. these two men, why they accompanied Christian for a short way along the path until they came to the hill difficulty, where the narrow way went up. They then departed from the narrow way and left Christian to go his own way up that narrow path. The one turned off by the way called danger, and the other by the way named destruction. And then we read in poetic form from Mr. Bunyan, "Shall they who wrong begin yet rightly end? Shall they at all have safety for their friend? No, no. In headstrong manner they set out, and headlong will they fall at last, no doubt." You must enter by the straight gate, or you'll never remain on the narrow way that leadeth unto life. And finally, we are told that few there be that find it. Not only is the gate so straight, so narrow that it's difficult to pass through, it's so narrow it's hard to find. Have you ever walked across the fields and you've been trying to perhaps follow a path and the path somehow peters out and you know that somewhere in the far wall, somewhere on the other side of that field is the stile into the next field, but you can't see it? Perhaps you have to resort to just following that wall around until you come to the gap, and then only then does it become obvious the way through. Or to find this straight gate is harder than that. If we were left to our own devices, none of us would find it. There are those who, no matter how often and how plainly they are told where that gate is, they still will not find it. But God Himself opens the eyes of those that He has determined to save by His grace, that they might see the straight gate, that they might pass through it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or have you passed through that straight gate? By way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you on that narrow way that leadeth unto life? Or are you still on that broad way which leads to destruction? If so, then I would urge you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, way, the truth, and the life. For no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Amen.